forgiveness. I say that word, what is the thought, what is the image, what is it that goes through your mind? The title of the message this morning is Forgiveness, That's Your Problem. And we'll get to that a little later. But let those words soak in. It can be a double meaning. But forgiveness, that's your problem. Matthew chapter 6, turn to that passage if you would, please. Matthew chapter 6. And we're going to look at two verses of Matthew. Wayne, can you turn me down just a tad? I'm getting a little echo. Matthew chapter 6, that's good, thank you. Matthew chapter 6. These are the words of Jesus, concluding the Lord's Prayer, verses 14 and 15. Jesus is just given to his disciples the example, the outline for praying to God our Heavenly Father. And then Jesus continues the conversation. For if you forgive men when they sin against you, your Heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. That's a powerful, powerful two verses of Scripture. Well, there is a true story that happened some time ago, about 100 plus years ago. Some of you may know the name Elizabeth Barrett. Elizabeth Barrett, if you're a literary a person, you might know that name. Well, she was born and raised in England, and she had a very stubborn, domineering father. And he was so domineering that he refused to allow any of his 12 children to get married. Okay, just think about that. He was a wealthy man, and he did not allow sons and or daughters to get married. That's pretty strong, pretty stubborn. Well, Elizabeth Barrett did disobey her father, and she did get married. She ran off, eloped, went to Paris, and married a man named Robert Browning. Okay? So it's Elizabeth Barrett Browning. And, of course, her father being offended that his daughter would run off with Mr. Browning, disowned her. But Elizabeth loved her parents. And she was very faithful to write her parents letters on a regular basis. And so over a period of 10 years, she wrote to her mom and dad, particularly her dad in England. And really never heard anything back. Never received a reply back. Well, one day, in the mail, she got a box, and it was from her dad. She was excited. She was thrilled to think that in 10 years, she's going to get a box from her dad. Finally, her dad is going to say, oh, forgive me. Oh, I've been such a jerk. Whatever, you know. Well, she was disappointed because when she opened the box, she only found all of her letters unopened. But those letters now are in books. They are some of the greatest love poems and things of literary history that we have. But her father was so stubborn that he would not forgive her for her disobedience, if you want to call it that, of his wishes to not marry. But imagine the hurt that she had and the unforgiveness of her father. Well, last week, we spoke about the first 11 chapters of Genesis. The first 11 chapters of the Bible explain why the world is in such a mess. And it is amazing to listen to the news or read a newspaper and the political pundits and even the journalist people, we try to put a spin on it. We try to make excuses for why the world is in such a mess. And why is the world in such a mess? What do the first 11 chapters of Genesis tell us? Well, it's that three-letter word, sin. Sin. So, sin is the great separator between God and us. And last week we spoke about that forgiveness that we need from God, our Heavenly Father. We ask for it, we confess it, He gives us that forgiveness that we so desperately need. While sin is also the great separator between friends and family, and we probably don't need to go down that road too far because each and every family, I believe, would have their own story to tell. And you know that sin, even in the church, the church, the body of Christ, it's the great separator of us, sin. And I'm not going to give you, as some Sundays I do, give you a long list of statistics to tell you what shape the world is in. Because if you don't know the world is in a bad situation, you just need to open your eyes and open your ears a little bit. Because we are in desperate need. But I will say to you that sin and unforgiveness hurts us, hurts the church, it hurts our community, it hurts the world. In levels, in every relationship and every friendship, unforgiveness. God's Spirit guided Matthew to show us Jesus as the great forgiver. Jesus Christ, God's Son, is the great forgiver. Forgiveness is the central theme of Jesus' teachings. Forgiveness is the central theme of Jesus' teaching. The giving and receiving of forgiveness. It's in Matthew. It's in the Lord's Prayer. Matthew chapter 6, verse 12, just a couple of verses above what I read for you. For we say it when we recite the Lord's Prayer, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. It's there for us. Every time you say the Lord's Prayer, we want His will to be done here on earth as it is in heaven. And then we get to verse 12. And it's forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. It's there for us, right in front of us. Well, this matter is very, very important to Jesus, and it is the thread throughout His teachings. And if it's important to Jesus, it must be important to us as well. So take your Bibles and turn to Matthew chapter 18. Matthew chapter 18. I'm going to read verses 15, 16, and 17. In my Bible, it's entitled, A Brother Who Sins Against You. Verse 15. If your brother sins against you, go and show him his fault, just between the two of you. If he listens to you, you have won your brother over. But if he will not listen, take one or two brothers along so that every matter may be established by the testimony of two or three witnesses. If he refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And if he refuses to listen even to the church, treat him as you would a pagan or a tax collector. Now those are some pretty strong words, aren't they? They're very, 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 very strong. When you go to somebody, you have a conflict, there's an issue between you, Jesus gives us some very good instruction, a method on dealing with forgiveness and unforgiveness in the church. We're talking about right here, believers, people that confess Jesus Christ as Lord. This is what we're talking about. This is what Jesus is teaching. Because it's you and me. We are the church. And I'm going to give you something that's really heavy, but it's important. You are the embodiment of Jesus' teachings. When you leave this building, even sitting here right now, you are the embodiment of all of Jesus' teachings. And forgiveness is key in all of Jesus' teachings. Forgiveness between us is a vital witness that the world needs to see in us of the evidence that Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior. It is the evidence that the world needs to see that Jesus in His teachings is who He said He is. And without forgiveness in the church, our witness to God's forgiveness is empty and meaningless. Empty and meaningless. If you don't forgive, you don't give forgiveness, you don't receive forgiveness, your witness as a Christian to your friends, your neighbors, your family, and the community is empty. It's meaningless. Back when I was in grade school, there's a song, What the World Needs Now is Love. Sweet love, not just for some, but for everyone. It was one of those love songs of the mid-60s. I will say that while that song was popular in the secular world, it could be the theme of the church today. And the reality of the foundation of that word love is seen and heard in forgiveness. I cannot say I love you if I'm not going to forgive you. You cannot look at me and say I love you and then you hold something against me. It doesn't compute in Scripture. And you may get it to compute in your mind. And you may sleep very well at night and good for you. Well, maybe not so good for you. I would hope that it would keep you awake at night. But it's foundational to us. The reality of the foundation of the word love is seen and heard in forgiveness. Unending love means unending forgiveness. If you are in a love relationship with somebody, you understand this passage of Scripture. You cannot be in an unending love relationship with somebody without forgiveness. Because you're going to butt heads. Your spirits are going to conflict with each other. It's just not going to work. So, again, I'll say it. The reality, the foundation of the word love is seen and heard in forgiveness. Forgiveness. Jesus taught this in his answer to the question, how many times must we forgive? Matthew 18, the conversation continues. The brother who sins against you, Jesus gives us that passage of Scripture that I just read several verses from. But then if you glance down to verse 21, Peter asks the all-important question. Then Peter came to Jesus and asked, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother when he sins against me? Up to seven times? That'd be pretty good, right? Kevin, would you agree? That'd be pretty good. Seven? I think I'm at the end of my forgiveness at seven. Well, I think you understand, you know what Jesus says. He says, well, not seven, but 70 times seven or 70 times 70. It's a big number. And I will say to you that don't get stuck on a number. Don't put a little check mark in the front of your Bible every time you forgive me, because you're not going to have enough paper in your Bible to accomplish that task, okay? Don't run out of numbers. Don't get stuck on a number. It isn't a number. Jesus is saying there's no limit to the act of forgiving. No end to forgiving. Well, Jesus follows the answer to Peter's question with a parable, verse 23. Verse 23, Jesus said, the kingdom of heaven is like. And in Jesus' teachings, that's an important, very, very important phrase that Jesus uses, and he uses it on a quite regular basis when he moves into telling a parable. The kingdom of heaven is like. If you want to know what heaven is like, this is it. If you want to get to heaven, this is what you're going to have to do. This is it. This is very important. It is spiritual obedience is seen in the teachings of Jesus. Well, let me just paraphrase or tell you quickly the parable that Jesus is telling here. A king wants to settle accounts with his servants. Not slaves, servants. Okay? So they're servants. And there is a servant that owes 10,000 talents. Again, in today's dollars and cents, we're kind of going to guess at that, but it'd be millions of dollars. And the man, because he couldn't pay for it. Let me read verse 25 for you. Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he had be sold to repay the debt. Focus on that. That's big. You can't pay back the debt to the king. He's going to take you from servanthood. He's going to move you down to the category of slave. And he's going to take you and make you a slave and your wife and your children to repay the debt. That's pretty tough. God is a just God. Well, the man faced slavery. He was a servant, but now he was going to be a slave. and his wife and children were going to be sold as well. Well, verse 26 shows us that the man begged for patience in paying it back. Now, he owed millions of dollars, and he was just a servant. I wish Jesus would have told us how he got in such debt, but that's not part of the parable. But anyway, the man begs for patience so that he can have time to pay back the debt. Well, the king took pity on the servant and canceled the debt. Imagine. The debt's been canceled. It's been forgiven. Forgiveness was experienced by this man. Not only by the man, but his wife and his children as well. Imagine he went home and just said, "Oh, you're not going to believe what the king did for us today." Well, then there's the rest of the story. Verse 28 tells us that the servant went out. He found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. Now, that's just pennies. That's just nothing. He grabbed him and began to choke him. "Pay back what you owe me," he demanded. His fellow servant fell to his knees and begged him, "Be patient with me and I will pay you back." The very same thing, the phrase that the first servant used, now his friend is using on him. That's important. Well, verse 30. But he refused. Instead, he went out and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. When the other servants saw what had happened, they were greatly distressed and went and told their master everything that had happened. That's a tough, tough story on the element of forgiveness. What does God, our Heavenly Father, think of forgiveness? Well, it's everything. It is everything. Look at verses 32 to the end of that parable. "Then the master called the servant in. 'You wicked servant,' he said. 'I canceled that debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you?' In anger, his master turned him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all he owed. This is how my Heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brothers from your heart." God is forever merciful to you. He's been ever merciful to me. You and I, we are the Church of Jesus Christ. We must have forgiveness in our hearts. We must be the example to our friends and our family, to our neighbors, to our community, that we are forgiving people. To do less spits in the face of God, our Heavenly Father. He just commanded us. It's throughout Scripture. We've already read a couple of examples of Jesus' teachings. This is important stuff. Forgiveness. To call yourself a Christian and then to withhold forgiveness to someone when they ask of it, in the spiritual realm, that does not equate, that does not compute. It will be rejected. To not forgive someone, you are, again, I'll say, a bad, worthless, hollow sinner. And really, the sad thing is all of your sinning friends and neighbors will know it because you're just like them. And you are condemning yourself, just as this servant did. He condemned himself to prison. That's a parable. And other places of Scripture, you're condemning yourself to hell. God is a God of mercy. He is a God of love. But this parable tells us that God is a God of justice. And God who requires justice requires forgiveness. He requires that we give away that which we have received. Have you received forgiveness for your sins? Have you confessed those sins to Jesus Christ? You've received that forgiveness. Now God, our Heavenly Father, says, now when somebody offends you, somebody wrongs you, you must forgive them. You must forgive them. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 15, Jesus talks about a tree that bears fruit and the tree that bears no fruit. Another story, Matthew chapter 7, Let me turn to that. Matthew chapter 7. You can turn to it too. Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 through 23. Well, anyway, he talks about a tree that bears no fruit. So in Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 and 23, this is a very chilling passage of Scripture. And several years ago, I was asked a question about a passage of Scripture that pokes at me, one of those passages of Scripture that are they're really challenging to you. And this is it. This is it. Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. So Jesus has been talking about the tree and the fruit. And then he concludes it with these thoughts. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and in your name drive out demons and perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evil doers. Jesus is he's having a conversation with people who have gone out into the church. They've done church stuff, okay? They've attended church. They've done all kinds of good stuff. And Jesus gives some examples of casting out demons and those kinds of miracles. But he's talking about do-gooders. These were people doing good things. They were even doing them in the name of Jesus Christ. But Jesus condemns them to hell because they did not do what the Father wanted them to do. I believe that the first fruit... Now, this is at the end of that story of the tree bearing fruit. I believe the first fruit of the good tree is forgiveness. Forgiveness. Without the fruit of forgiveness, nothing you have ever done for God will be worth anything. Zero. Zero. Put it in a garbage can. Let West Central Sanitation pick it up for you. Okay? Everything you have done for God, in the name of God, without the first fruit, which I'm telling you today, I believe it is forgiveness, because it is the first thing that's connected to our forgiveness from God or Heavenly Father. Nothing that you've ever done for God will be worth anything. And that I'm speaking this to myself. I'm saying this for myself. Go ahead, hold on to your grudges, your little spats, your hatred, your guarded dislikes, your justifications, your excuses, your selfish whatever. Go ahead and do that stuff, but then you better read verse 23 and read it very slowly and read it very carefully, because that's going to be your reward. Church leaders, even in this community, have great conversations about what's wrong with the church. Why don't people want to go to church anymore? Why don't people attend church? Why aren't people... da 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 da, you fill in the blank. Well, I believe that you and I, the church, in many ways, we are the church in name only. Churches change the name. We've gone through that the last couple of years here in town. We went through it in Minneapolis, the church we attended. And a woman made a very good comment. She said, you can change the name of the church, but it doesn't change the person who sits in the pew. You sitting in the pew, and in the truth of Scripture about this element of forgiveness, it is critical for us showing and being the example of Christ in the community. What has Jesus Christ, God's Son, entrusted with each of us? Well, His love, His mercy, His grace, even those words that we have trouble defining. Well, I'm going to say that forgiveness is one of those great things that Jesus Christ requires that we show to each other. Grace, mercy, forgiveness is in all of those. For it is written in Scripture, and we as believers in Jesus Christ must obey. You and I, we've received forgiveness. That forgiveness produces fruit when it is given away. When was the last time you asked somebody to forgive you for something? When was the last time somebody came to you and said, you know, you offended me We don't do that very often in our world today, because we'll just carry the burden. But yet there's a great release, there's a great spiritual freedom when you ask somebody to forgive you. When you've offended somebody, you need to ask for forgiveness. The title of the message this morning was Forgiveness, That's Your Problem. Isn't that easy to say? Isn't it say, hey, forgiveness, that's your problem, Marguerite. That's your problem. That's your problem, Mom. No, that's not the intent of the title of the message this morning. Forgiveness, that's your problem. Unforgiveness is my problem. Unforgiveness is your problem. The element of forgiving and receiving, it's all of our problems. You get to ask someone, and then you get to receive forgiveness. It goes both ways. It goes both ways. In your bulletin in the inside panel, there's a little quote from C.S. Lewis. It says, everyone says forgiveness is a lovely idea until they have something to forgive. I believe C.S. Lewis knew what he was talking about. I'm sure that he had experienced that. Somebody offends you, it's difficult to forgive because we own those things so close to us from time to time. But yet Jesus Christ, God's Son, says, we must give away what we have received. What have we received from Him? We've received forgiveness of sin. And so when somebody sins against us, they offend us, they hurt us, we must give away what we've received. Forgiveness. I plead with you to take this message to heart. Let the Holy Spirit speak it to you. This is, I believe, is such a critical element in our world today. Forgiveness. Listen to yourself have a conversation. What do you talk about? Who do you talk about? We talk about people that offend us. Go to that person. Give forgiveness. Ask for forgiveness. We had a conversation Thursday night. One in the group said this person knew that there was a conflict between himself and somebody else. And he was just tempted just to let it go. That's what we do, right? It'll fix itself. Who cares? I care, but anyway. Holy Spirit kept speaking to him. And he finally came to the point where he said, no, it's on me to go and ask what's up. If I've offended you, please forgive me. I forgive you for any offense. And that's what happened. And so that relationship, the friendship, that working relationship which had been damaged was healed only as God can heal it. So I challenge you this week. I challenge you today. And I'm again speaking to myself, because I did this yesterday afternoon to somebody, asking them to forgive me. Because we do, even in subtle ways, not knowing we can offend somebody. But when you know it, when the Holy Spirit puts it upon you, go and ask for forgiveness. Let that relationship heal itself. Let God be involved in that healing process. It's His will to be done, here on earth as it is in heaven. We have received forgiveness. You have received it from God, our Heavenly Father, completely. And now we must give it away. Please stand. Father, this is important stuff. Jesus speaks of it. We've read the passages of Scripture. There is no doubt in my mind. There must be no doubt in our spirits. The element of forgiveness is vital in our relationship to You. And without it, I have no relationship with You. So, Father, speak to us today. Convict our hearts. Lead us and guide us to be forgivers. And then when it comes upon us, let us go and ask those that we have offended to forgive us. So, Father, we give you great praise and say thank you for speaking to us today. Let us leave this place and go be a blessing to someone today. Let us do it in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. In his name we offer our prayers and praise today. Amen. Go and be a blessing.